brown's in our blood. Let's go! Everybody, that's Kellen Conley.
That's Anthony Sellers.
That's Alex Wiederspiel.
And that's Eric Jordan.
And this is Browns in Our blood.
With a Jets fan.
And a Raiders fan.
And a Raiders fan. Season 3, Episode 3. So guys.
Let's get into it.
Alex, how do you feel about the Jets yesterday, man?
A lot of misery in this room. A lot of misery.
The Raiders have a better record than both y'all's teams right now.
Technically,
until tonight.
When does this air?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. It's okay. They know.
So the Raiders could still have a better record tomorrow.
I truly doubt it.
Flacco's going to throw for like 500 yards.
Joe Flacco's not throwing for 500 yards anymore.
Hey, that's the Super Bowl MVP you're talking about there. Watch yourself. So, Alex is a big Jets fan, and as next Monday's matchup is against the Browns and the Jets going against each other, figured it was only right to bring him in. So our first guest of the season, welcome Alex. So we're just going to get right to it. Thoughts on the Browns game. Eric Jordan, you were there.
First thing first, the energy at the tailgate. Guys, you can't lose that energy. You can't get down on yourself and be upset at the game. We got to keep that energy there. That is an extra advantage we're giving our team. Never seen nothing like that at the tailgate. Tailgate was packed. Took me an hour and a half to get in just from parking. But it was just...
What time was it when you had that much trouble?
I actually got in around 10:30.
Okay.
So, you know, I went early, man. But you got to really go early. But the energy was great, and I just don't want us to lose that, you know. So that was awesome.
Say that relayed through on the TV too.
Did it?
At least
it was
at the
loud as hell.
Yeah, at the beginning, that first drive, the way that went, it was pretty electric. Just watching it.
Yes.
Yeah, I watched the game from home, so it was definitely crazy. It was new energy. I'd never heard Brown Stadium sound like that. Yeah. That's two seasons.
Rock.
Yeah.
And just like, I almost felt a little nervous walking through the tailgate because I was like, yo, the testosterone is just so high. Man. You know, it's just like, you know, I was.
Let's go Browns!
Yeah, you mix that with alcohol and, you know, bait got everybody feeling extra swaggy. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh no, man. I was like, yo, I had a rental car too. I was like, please don't do this. Let me just make it out of here. But I loved it. But to the game. Man, we all needed it. We all needed to eat a little bit of this humble pie. When I say we, fans, players, I know they're going to give you the political response, you know, yes, you know, we didn't get into the hype, but yeah, that looks like exactly what happened. And then got on that roller coaster of nervousness and never got off. And that showed with all the penalties.
Outclassed, outmatched, outcoached.
Yes.
It showed in all facets. Tennessee has always been a physical team.
Yes.
And they wanted to play physical, and they just pounded the Browns in the mouth.
Yeah, they came and smacked us dead in the mouth.
Yeah.
They smacked us dead in the mouth.
A couple times.
Yeah. And us like, being young and unexperienced, never recovered.
Like, we got that momentum from the second touchdown drive to Njoku.
Right.
And then they just come and they took that sucker punch and pretty much came back with a haymaker on the Derrick Henry screen. And pretty much put us against the ropes, and that was pretty much it.
That's what I get for talking about Derrick Henry last week.
Derrick Henry, who had more touchdowns on the ground last year than he had catches.
Yeah.
And he caught one.
Yeah.
Took it to the house.
Yeah, he took it
screen
to the house.
Pass for 75 yards.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. As Freddie Kitchens said, was a discipline, had no composure. Greg Robinson, what he did, that was just not acceptable at all. 182 yards of penalties.
That means Raiders numbers.
That means we can't run the ball like we want to. you know, which is.
Well, they still ran the ball well.
Yeah, but that's we couldn't run it as much as we wanted to because we got all these penalties, so we got to make up for yardage.
Yeah, but they still ran the ball well. Nick Chubb had 75 yards on like 16, 17 carries.
Yeah. So, I'm not saying we didn't run the ball good. I said we weren't able to run the ball good.
We got to get away from the game plan.
Yeah, we got to get away from the game plan because we was always 2-20, 3-35, whatever. But, and it's obvious our defense still has an issue with the running game and tight ends. We had that same problem last year. I think we did get caught up in the hype. I know everybody and me in that tailgate, we just knew we were going out. I mean, come on, we gave, what was our projection scores last week? I was 24-0.
You said shutout. I said 21-17. So
I said 17-20 Titans.
Yes, you did predict Titans beating us. But I tell you this, when I did see what I like, I thought we played three good quarters of football. The end of the third quarter, that's when it started getting crazy. But I thought after that we would have in it and we're starting to get momentum to win. So I saw some good things, but the bad things was not bad. They were horrible. They were nightmares.
Yeah.
And that's the penalties and losing our composure.
To me, that's a coaching issue.
Yep.
Leadership stuff comes back from last year. We had that same problem with Hugh with the penalties, and it's coming back to haunt us this year. Like, they needed to be more disciplined in camp. That's what it boils down to. It seems like they weren't as disciplined in camp about things. They thought that with all the talk and the hype, I really did think that kind of got to their heads a little bit.
Do you think it has also them not playing our starters in preseason? You think that might have something to do with it?
Just with like timing, but even so, I mean, Baker and Odell was still on target for most of the game. Odell had 7 catches for 70 yards. So, but he was also hamstrung. He didn't have any real deep passes, catches.
Yeah.
Losing Greg Robinson in the second quarter, that's also huge. And then his
I still think we have a problem on the offensive line. I've never liked the tackles, but.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my problem.
Yeah. Spiel, did you get to see any of the Browns highlights?
No.
Any thoughts?
I didn't see them, but I'm not entirely surprised by the outcome. Maybe a little surprised by the score. I picked the Titans to beat the spread. I picked the Bills to beat the spread, for the record there as well. You know, I think the Browns and Jets are really mirror images of one another in a lot of ways. I think the big question that's going to be this week is who's farther along in their rebuild. I think I have a pretty good idea of the team that is. But in a lot of ways, these two teams are awfully similar. And I wasn't surprised. I thought both of them were going to have to eat a little humble pie coming in. And the Jets may not have had the same hype train that Cleveland had. You know, they weren't writing Onion articles about Jet fans thinking the team would settle for 13-3.
Right.
But I still thought that there was a little bit of hype coming out of you know, the Jets locker room and the Jets media, certainly with the additions of Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley. And, you know, Adam Gase obviously isn't quite as big the hype train, but the eyeball press conference added as well. So these are two teams that are kind of mirror images from one another, and I don't think either outcome really shocked me.
Okay.
No, I streamlined the Jets defense yesterday. 18 points a game that day. Yes.
He thinks the Titans are farther in the rebuild. I'm going to say it.
Can we just come up with the fact that Greg Williams has coached for all four of these teams?
I know, right?
Bill Brown, Jets.
I hold that thought because I'm coming back to that later. That's coming up back later. So I watched the Jets-Bills game too. The Jets, obviously, they were up 16-0, and then the Bills came back. The defense just seemed to just be tired. They seemed to have a lot of trouble that the Browns had last year with getting off the field. And so by the time the fourth quarter rolled around, the defense was gassed. And that's when Josh Allen and the Bills started circling the wagons.
They realized in the second half that they could run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, structure.
Because they didn't. Like, the first three drives, they didn't run the ball at all. Like, their running backs did not touch the ball.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think it was 9 straight
catches. I was watching the red zone.
For Josh Allen to start the game. And that's, he actually didn't look bad when he had a clean pocket. And, of course, we know he can move as well as just about anyone in the league for a guy who's 6'6". But, you know, the Jets' structure really broke down when C.J. Mosley went out. And the thing that didn't surprise me. was that the defense is really lacking in depth, where on the offensive side, you wouldn't know it from yesterday's game, but on the offensive side, there's a ton more depth at just about every position. Defensively, they were already thin with Avery Williamson getting knocked out for the year during the preseason, and then C.J. Mosley, who was a beast for three quarters, goes out and is done for the fourth quarter, and the Bills put together their two best drives of the football game. And we're talking about, you know, defensively, a team in Buffalo that is the identity of that team. They returned 10 starters, and they replaced the one starter they lost, and Kyle Williams, you know, got big shoes to fill there. They replaced him with Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver's probably going to be pretty good. And he looked pretty good yesterday. He got a few pretty good hits on Sam Darnold. Darnold was running for his life most of the game.
That's what I thought, too. Because every time the red zone would flash back to Jessica, I'm like, Darnold has no time in that pocket. It was breaking down. And Le'Veon, he had numbers, but he didn't have that immediate impact that you would want from Le'Veon Bell. But, of course, he does have a year off.
Yeah, he didn't play, what, 603 days?
And he played
like that
every snap. Honestly, I thought he was, other than Mosley, the best player yesterday. He was certainly the best player on the offensive side. He created everything totally himself, more or less. People didn't realize this. You know, you should go on and see Jets Twitter right now, because it's amazing that, you know, they certainly wouldn't have admitted to it before the game, but after the game, the Jets fan base acted like a Super Bowl favorite was just taken down by David. And that's not what I saw with the Jets. This is a team where the offensive line they hadn't had a single snap together, a single rep in practice together until 2 weeks ago.
Right.
In a brand new scheme with two new players on the interior behind a second-year quarterback, and their center was retired as of a month ago.
Right.
So, I mean, I wasn't surprised at all when I watched this. You know, continuity is one of the most important things in football.
Especially along the offensive line.
And Sean McDermott took advantage of that, and his front seven feasted on the New York Jets offensive line. I wasn't shocked at all. I mean, they were actually okay when it was a four or three man rush.
Mm-hmm.
The minute that fifth rusher started coming in, neither Darnold or Khalil could figure out. Just hadn't spent enough time together, and Khalil's probably a borderline Hall of Famer, and they took advantage of how little time he spent with Darnold, and it showed. The Jets forced four turnovers. Didn't get a single point on any of those turnovers.
Wow.
Yeah,
those are the stats that are win-lose your ball game right there, so.
Yeah. That's actually, I'm glad you brought that point up too, because circling back to our game, like the stats were very similar. The difference was the penalties, and the Titans got three turnovers.
Yeah.
That was the difference in the game.
Now, looking forward to next Monday night's matchup, Anthony, what are your thoughts about the Jets-Browns week two after, you know, they've gotten those first week jitters out, the Browns got punched in the mouth. The Jets got tired, essentially. There you go.
So, yeah, Jets are going, they're going to want to close out if they're ahead. I know that. But I think for the Browns, they need to really focus on doing what they did the second half of last year and giving that O-line help. Because they just looked inadequate.
Did Baker hold on to the ball a little bit too much for your taste? Like, maybe it was me. And I was literally yelling
on
at
a couple
him.
Plays, yes.
I was like, "Baker, just throw it out. Just throw it out." And he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, on a couple plays, yes. But they were running a lot of just empty, like, you know, empty sets, not giving Max, like, extra protection. Not bringing, you know. They were doing a lot of that and not giving him any extra seconds, extra time.
How did he handle the blitz in this first week?
about as well as he could, I think, personally.
It was a heavy blitz. I mean, like, the Titans didn't let up on him all day.
No, and once they got that extra, like, took that, like, just ripped the whole energy back out that second time, they poured it on. Absolutely.
He was definitely holding the ball too long.
Those last two interceptions.
He was trying to make some big plays.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of feeling the hype. You know, you're not sticking to the game plan. You're trying to do a knockout punch. You're trying to get, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're down 16 points with, you know, 8 minutes left in the game, you kind of have to get big chunks.
I'm not even talking about that. Yeah. I'm talking about first half.
You see, I think that's the difference between a team like Tennessee, even with all their losses defensively. I mean, remember, they had guys retire. They had guys leaving free agency.
Yeah.
And even with all their losses, they're probably still pretty good defensively. I think it's going to be feast or famine this week for Baker Mayfield against this Jets defense. The big advantage for the Jets is Greg Williams, who might have some maybe insider knowledge on how to stop Baker. But the thing is, the personnel you know, there's a good chance either Mosley or Quinnen Williams are going to play this week. They both got hurt in the second half of that game against the Bills. So we're talking about the front seven, which was already the strength of the Jets' defense, is hurting. And the back four, I mean, I love Jamal Adams. I think he's one of the best, if not the best, safety in football. Certainly the most unheralded. And Marcus May is finally starting to come on after he was injured most of last season. But their corners were nightmarish against the Bills. And if the Jets can't manufacture a pass rush, I think Baker, it's going to be a question of, does Baker make the right read at the right time? It's not going to be, is he forced into bad decisions next week? I think he's got a chance to have another monster game against the Jets like he did a year ago.
Yeah, that was the first
which I think is key right there, because I think, you know, I remember, because I was at that game actually, and when they won that was that first one with Baker coming in. The Jets were a part of something amazing in our stadium last year. It was so incredible.
I was watching the game with a Browns fan too. So
I mean, it was that's got to, and plus, you know, that's him and Darnold coming in. So this is this quarterback battle that's starting. We're going to see forever. You know, so honestly, I know Darnold wants some payback, and I know the whole Jets team wants some payback because they was in there seeing all this craziness going on like that. So that I'm worried about us not being able to defend the run and Le'Veon Bell.
That's going
to
be the biggest
key. That's spooky. That's like, really spooky. Yeah. So he's all those different things, man, I don't know. Man. I do think we come back way focused, though.
Okay.
I think we're embarrassed. We know we can play better. So I think our focus is going to be there. But I don't know, man. This kind of, like I said, the way the Jets played, the way they were in that stadium, getting that first win, hearing all that rah-rah, Darnold and Baker coming in together, football gods might throw us another twist. I don't know, man. But but my mind for our boys, I feel like we'll be focused. I feel like we'd be focused. So I think we get the
point. There's a lot of bulletin board material. I actually think this is a great, like, I think one of the most not talked about things. This is actually a great Monday Night Football matchup.
It is.
You know, and a lot of the times, I feel
even
like...
Even for the historical value.
Yes,
exactly. That it was the first Monday Night Football game. That's, in itself, just amazing to me. Like, they decided to recreate that.
And you wouldn't think it when you think Jets-Browns, especially not now, but, like, based on what happened last year, and you've got Baker versus Darnold, and they're both expected to have better football games.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a chance this could be, like, out of an old-time, like, hearkening back to that AFL of old.
Yeah. And they both made moves to kind of help them out, like with the Browns getting Odell, and then with
actually it's two steals. We got the two.
Yes.
One stealing went there, the other stealing went there. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, one that's two stealing. I'm sorry.
Giant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah,
big stars
yeah.
left to
big
come
stars,
up these
yeah.
scenes.
Yeah.
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 So we're going to get into predictions real quick, but here's my hot take that I want to throw out for you guys. Greg Williams is obviously the defensive coordinator for the Jets now. It's been one game. But does anybody feel like Greg Williams should still be the coach of the Cleveland Browns? Because I'm just going to say like he should be.
No.
I feel like Freddie Kitchens is the wrong move, and I think that he should still be offensive coordinator. And that's just one game, one sample. I don't know nothing other than what I watched yesterday.
I was a Greg Williams fan.
I know.
I was a Greg Williams fan. Freddie, it might be a little too much for Freddie's plate. But Freddie got all the little makers that I like for a head coach, except for experience.
Dorsey, I do trust.
But I ain't gonna lie, I like Greg Williams. I just like that flavor. I honestly like Greg Williams, Freddie Kitchen, and Baker. The way that they were together and talked and played around with each other on the sideline, the little chemistry they had, I like that. So, but you know, you never know what happens. Greg Williams probably cussed everybody out at least twice. So.
I just feel like it should still be Greg. And now you're going into a Monday night game with your former head coach literally across the sidelines and just some personnel change. So.
Something I completely forgot about, too.
Yeah.
I didn't even put that into the equation at all.
Any thoughts on that idea, Spiel? I mean, you've had one game sample size on the defensive side.
You know, it's funny. A couple months ago, I would have told you that I thought he did a great job, but I think they should have gone a different direction. I'm not a big Greg Williams fan, but now he's with the Jets, and I have to be a fan. So, and the thing is, it's not because he's not a great defensive mind. I just, man, he's always been, you know, he's always been against the Jets in every capacity. I remember him as the Bills head coach for a couple of seasons there, and those defenses were ferocious, even if those teams weren't very good. But and he's just, he's been around the block, man. I've always had a reason to dislike the guy. Certainly Bountygate didn't help, but now here he is. He's in New York. I don't know. I don't think he should be the head coach of the Browns. I think they probably made the right choice with Freddie Kitchens. But I like that it adds more to this. I think it adds just a little extra layer of intrigue this week that has got me excited.
It does. But they also changed up the offense a little bit too. Like, they don't have the same offense, because that offense that Kitchens ran last year was Haley's offense. And then they brought Todd Monken in. So the offense is a little bit different, which is why I kind of think like they did a lot different protection schemes last week. And I think that is something that they're going to probably do again this week, even though I think they should still find ways to chip and stuff, because that's what Tennessee did. They took three tight ends and basically made two of them an extra blocker. Mm-hmm. So I think the Browns need to kind of do that, especially if Quinton Williams plays. You know, got him and Leonard. Is Leonard Williams still on the Jets?
Yeah, and he will.
I heard his name called a few times.
Yeah, he's never quite lived up to the hype, but he's
still solid. Yeah, he's a solid starter. So, I mean, you let him get on a run, like, roll. You don't want that to happen. So, I mean, I think they need to find ways to do a little bit more protection.
Okay. All right, well, Spiel, you're the guest. So, what is your prediction? Win or lose for the Jets or the Browns on Monday night, sir? And throw the score out there, too, if you're fancy.
I'm going to do something that I would never have done in my entire time talking about football, but I think it's going to be a tie game. I think we're going to get back-to-back ties. I think...
I knew the Cardinals game was a tie. I looked at that in the overtime, like, they're going to tie.
We're going to get ties.
I went and did laundry, and I was right.
It's not an insane prediction anymore to say that we're going to get a tie. I think these teams are so evenly matched. If I were going to give a slight edge, I'd give it to Cleveland. My only question is, I think that Darnold's going to come in with a bit of a chip on his shoulder, and that might even the odds a little bit. Because, I mean, the guy, when he's got even a factotum of time, I don't think I used that word right, but he got a little bit of time.
It sounds good. I like it.
He's got a little bit of time, man. He was on fire to end the season last year. So I think he comes in a little fired up for this one, and I think it's going to be one of those weirdo games, goes to overtime, and we can't seem to get a winner, especially the Jets' kicking problems are legendary right now.
Browns missed their first game
with Cleveland, yeah.
So we'll see a few missed field goals in overtime, and I think that will be our final will be 24. No, I'm sorry. We're gonna be real specific here. It's gonna be 21-21, all missed field goals.
Wow. Wow. See, this is what happens. You bring a Jets fan on. Eric Jordan.
24-21 Browns.
You wanna say it a little slower for the camera?
24-21 Browns.
I heard you the first time. Okay, and Anthony.
I'm gonna go with 20-14. Browns.
Okay. Jets win 17-13. I say what I say. Browns are going to lose the game, guys. I'm sorry.
I will buy you a beer if that happens. I'm totally.
I won't get the beer.
I will take the good. All right. Well, I'll take the good vibes. God, I don't buy it. Just don't buy it.
Okay. Now, before you move to your next topic, there's no way we're not going to talk about Tony Brown and your Raiders. There's no way.
Let's go ahead.
It was one of the most amazing sports days I've ever had.
I was losing my
in
mind.
In my life.
It was amazing.
It was insane.
I've never been through nothing like that. The dude gets released. I mean, no, it started the night before, right?
Was Bill Belichick bankrolling the Antonio Brown craziness?
No.
We don't think Bill Belichick.
Robert Kraft was.
Heard he hired a firm, though. He hired a marketing firm.
There's no way he does all of that to get released quicker, to not, like, without knowing that he's not going to get signed somewhere right away.
Yeah.
He had to know there was at least, had to have heard somehow from at least one or two teams, even though that would have been against the rules and regulations or whatever, but there's no way he doesn't do it without having some kind of assurance that he's going to be signed right away. There's no way.
Rosenhaus is Gronkowski's agent.
Yeah, there is no way he doesn't. But I'm sorry,
the minute they take away the guaranteed money, I'm sorry, you can't do that with any diva wide receiver. You can't take away the guaranteed money and not act him out to flip out.
I mean, that dude's good.
He was already flipping out, though.
Yeah, he was already flipping out, but he was going to play Sunday.
I think it was a bit of chicken. I think the Raiders were waiting to see what Brown was going to do because they had to protect themselves. And I hate taking the side of ownership. And I'm not really taking their side because whatever, but
Raiders did the right thing.
They did the right thing. They had to know Brown was going to respond.
I didn't want Antonio Brown for the moment they announced the trade. I was not excited in the least because I knew this was going to happen. The Raiders can't manage talent. I'm sorry to cut you off, man.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Did anybody really think he was going to go that psycho, wacko?
It was in play. It was in play.
Not that crazy,
Have
though.
You seen the Oakland Raiders? Have you seen my franchise at all? Like, they breathe this stuff. They live off of people being unhappy.
I'm talking about the team that got rid of Khalil Mack.
The commitment to excellence and the monster and living up to Al Davis and Mark Davis. And they bring back Jon Gruden, who hasn't coached a team in like over 10 years, and give him this huge deal. And everybody's like, oh, we got Gruden back. Let's bring back all these alumni. You know why they're bringing back alumni? Because nothing good has happened for the Raiders franchise since 2002. There's nothing good to be, there's nothing to build on. You're just living on history and stuff, man. So you're going to bring in Antonio Brown. It's like, we have a speedy wide receiver. Yeah, James Jett was speedy. Tim Brown was speedy, Hall of Famer, obviously. But one thing the Raiders never has not brought in my lifetime, well, when I turned one they did, is championships, because they've been living off the same formula for years and they won't change it up. And this is what we do. We develop people to be in this cesspool of living in Oakland and living up to these mantras and the black hole, and it's like, ooh, look at our uniforms. This is what happens. You don't have a real coach. If Jack Del Rio was there, I feel like this wouldn't have played out the same. If Reggie was still in charge, this wouldn't have played out the same. They wouldn't have brought him in.
The Steelers?
That was therapeutic, wasn't it?
Say, the Steelers?
It looked like it was so therapeutic. Musa.
I feel better after hearing that.
The Steelers have done the same thing for years, though. Off the same, like, to your point about the Raiders living off the same mantra.
Right.
The Steelers have done it. The Ravens have done it. The
right.
Patriots have done it.
Right.
Even to an extent, the Cowboys have done it.
And
the Eagles, actually, too.
Do you know what the difference is, though?
They're winning.
Well, yeah, obviously. But that's not the only difference. They have these mantras, but consistency is the main thing. Tomlin has been the Steelers coach since 2005, since the Steelers won their Super Bowl 40. John Harbaugh's been in Baltimore for years. The upper management's there. The Rooneys have been in Pittsburgh forever. Dallas has been owned by Jerry Jones forever. They won't get rid of Jason Garrett, even though people have literally sent death threats to Jerry Jones to get rid of him. And Jerry Jones, oh, that's my guy. I love that guy. Like, Jason Garrett is, again, consistency. The Raiders have not had consistency. When they started to get it with Jack Del Rio, they have. They have, but it's the same mindset. They went right from Al to Mark. It's the same stuff. And when they had a coach in there and a GM who seemed to be getting things done with Reggie and Jack Del Rio, the moment that the Raiders had a bad season, they fired Jack Del Rio. And it's like, hey, John, you want all this money to come back? Because Mark Davis was going after him like from the moment that his dad died, essentially. And Gruden kept saying no. Eventually, the money just got too high, and that's why John Gruden's back in that booth.
And a 10-year contract is nice as well. But I really wonder if I'm Oakland, I'm at the point now where I'm thinking to myself, as a fan, what is the draw anymore of this insanity? I mean, I as a Jet fan, I sometimes think this the same thing to myself. What is the draw of the circus anymore? Because that was us under Rex Ryan, you know?
Yeah.
I watched the circus every Sunday with Rex Ryan at the helm, especially towards the end there. At a certain point, you know, you almost have to walk away.
Yeah.
Of course, I won't. I'm addicted to the New York Jets. As I'm sure you're addicted to the Oakland Raiders.
Unfortunately so. Only thing I look forward to since Gruden is there, I live for the Raiders legacy. I look forward to them playing football, but I know there's going to be penalties. I know Derek Carr isn't the same since he came back from that injury. The Raiders did the right thing.
I agree with that.
Even if they try to keep him under wraps.
I disagree with that. You don't take away the guaranteed contract. If you really want Antonio Brown, you know what you're getting into.
So what would it take for the guaranteed money be taken away from a player for you? So Odell has guaranteed money. What would he have to do to you be like, Odell should have guaranteed
money? It's not just that it was the Raiders stuff disciplinary that he was code of conduct he was doing. It was the whole players' unions, like the NFLPA code of conduct that he was breaking too with that stuff.
Like what? What, the threat to make out and all that?
Yeah, because yeah, the letter that he posted said that the Players Association.
Yeah,
that was the Players Association, the Raiders discipline contract.
Organization's supposed to be like, yeah, I know we can void it, but we're not. We're giving you that money.
So what would it take for you to take away somebody's guaranteed money? Like, none of that stuff that he did, you feel like he should have lost his money?
Physical,
not posting
physical
that
physical altercation. Not the, not,
he
not,
went after
no,
the GM.
No, I'm talking about contact. Smack in the face. Spit.
So I could get this close to you and not actually
grown
touch
men
you.
Do that.
If
grown
you
men do that. They have this.
You
they
can,
have.
If you put that in your own job setting, you would lose your job. You lose your
look,
guaranteed
look, look,
money.
We made an investment to Odell Beckham, right? I know exactly what we're getting. We have the possibility to have everything he just went through. I'm on board with it. I went through Josh Gordon for 2 years. All right.
His was drug problems, though.
I don't care. I want productivity, but I know what I'm investing into.
Yeah. How come he gets to buy into the Patriots system and he couldn't buy into Oakland? I know Oakland's the Patriots.
This is real leadership there.
And I think it's a season problem.
Mayock was crazy. And we had Hugh Damn Jackson.
I liked Hugh when he was with the Raiders, by the way.
I did too!
I thought he was a great
another
coach.
Another firing. Tom Cable, 8-8, like, eight, fired. Hugh Jackson, 8-8, fired.
Let me throw some water on this little fire here.
Hugh was clearly a bad fit for the Browns, but like, I'm going to be honest, like, you know what's funny about the Browns? I thought they made a couple of good coaching hires in the last couple of years, and somehow they just keep... I thought Mangini was a fine hire.
Oh, I couldn't stand it.
Oh, man, I thought Jackson was a fine hire.
Didn't Mangini go to you guys after?
No, Mangini started with us.
Yeah, he started with
Mangini, I thought that he was wrongfully fired by the... That Jets team overachieved, but I will say with Antonio Brown,
When you did the Baker, your second... On TV, I knew he lost it. He lost that. I'm like, nobody, no player, no super potential superstar is going to want to eat that public humble pie. That should have been something that...
What, that it was going to be second string?
Yeah, yeah. They should have left that. That could have been Hard Knocks, though. But, you know...
So do you think that there was these kind of theatrics in Pittsburgh and they just kept it that quiet?
Yes, I do.
That's what I was thinking. Well, like there are probably physical altercations in the other locker rooms as well. I will say the one twist here is that it's usually not between star player and GM. It's usually between player and player or coach and player. It's very I don't think
that's why it was able to keep under wraps in Pittsburgh, is because it was more player and player, I think. Like, it was probably a lot more Big Ben and AB than what a lot of people realize.
I don't know. I think I see Kellen's point about AB. At a certain point, the risk becomes, does this affect everybody else? Because it stops being about football, and we know there is no bigger team sport around than football. I hate that metaphor of kind of going to war, but there is some similarity there in the fact that you got to have the back of the guy next to you, and man, you just don't know what AB's going to do from week to week. And when he was with the Raiders, shoot, probably didn't know what he was going to do week to week with the Steelers either. He just seemed like he wanted out. He never wanted to go to Oakland, and I'm a little surprised. You would think he would enjoy Vegas. You would think Vegas. I mean, that seems to be a lure for a lot of
they
players.
They were in Vegas, though.
I know, but that's
maybe
that
would
was
act
the future.
Different if we were in Vegas.
Honestly, my personal, if I had to make, I'd say it's Derek Carr. If I could gotten Camp Carr, I was like, oh, this ain't gonna do. This is not gonna work. I'm not gonna get.
That's my quarterback.
I'm sorry.
We have a FanDuel League. The link is in the description below. If you want to play FanDuel against Eric Jordan and Anthony Sellers and myself and Spiel, I don't know if you play FanDuel.
I do.
Well, I mean, the link's in the description.
You should join.
We got to up the ante because someone didn't make it this week.
I know.
We got to up
the ante. If you join, I have to up it to 8, so I have to go home and
you
do that tonight.
You should up it to 8 people so that Gary can join and that Weaverspill can join this week.
Lionel didn't. He got third.
He was in the lead for most of the day.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you want to play FanDuel,
took that lead.
If you want to play FanDuel, it's $2 to play, and
no.
If you win the season, there is a Browns in Our Blood Intercontinental Championship belt that is being held
ain't
by Eric Jordan.
Getting it. Ain't nobody.
2
getting
years
it.
Running.
It's mine.
Somebody won yesterday. We don't know who
years,
won.
3 years. This guy won with my advice.
No, I had that lineup set. I had that lineup set like 2 weeks ago.
It's documented. It's documented.
I took Lamar Jackson out of my lineup. And I still came in second, though.
When I told you I had
in second,
I
almost was there.
I mean, I just said this like 2 episodes ago, though. I distinctly said it's on video.
And I said 1 episode ago, you had such a crush on Lamar Jackson. And for good reason, obviously.
But what exactly I said happened? I said, I'm worried about Lamar going back there, buying time, and Hollywood Brown streaking down. It happened twice.
Derrick Henry was really good for my fantasy.
The shade, ladies and gentlemen.
That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, you know what, Alex? The Lady Walker was pretty good for me. I know it's my Browns, but I'm like, oh, man, we have a problem with tight ends.
I didn't have any Browns or Titans in FanDuel. $2 a play every Sunday. Get your lineups in before 1 p.m. We're going to up it up to 8 and see if
still
we can't fill
champ.
It up again.
Still the champ. Yeah. Still the champ.
He's still the champ.
Still the champ.
So if you enjoy Browns and our blood, especially
don't
when we're yelling at each other.
One
and
win. Don't make you a champ. Sorry.
Especially when we're yelling at each other and about Antonio Brown and you know how Freddie Kitchens shouldn't be the head coach. You can subscribe to Muscle and Sound Vision on YouTube.
Yes.
Make sure you hit that button. Make sure you hit that bell. Never miss any of the content for Browns in Our Blood, and never miss Browns in Our, or any of the content on the channel, and you'll never miss any Browns in Our Blood content. Then let's see if the phone rings this week. If you like the show in podcast form, it's on Hyphen Podcast Group, hyphenpodcastgroup.com, a Morgantown, Western U-based podcast collective bringing great podcasts to the people. So podcast, video, we got you covered.
Yeah.
So, Browns winning, a tie, and Browns losing again. So, ladies and gentlemen,
had a rough weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, for Alex Wiederspiel, I messed up. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Alex Wiederspiel.
That's Eric Jordan.
That's Anthony Sellers.
That's Kellen Conley.
Raiders fan.
And this is
Browns in Our Blood.
All right, Jeff. Come on, Brownies. You see what we got to do with this guy. Y'all know what we got to do. Come on. Show up. Baker, get focused.
Oh, I didn't know I was recording. Hi there. Didn't mean to interrupt the great Hyphen Podcast show you're currently listening to. My name is Eduardo Garfield III, Esquire. You can call me EG. I'm the host of the number one concert review podcast in the world. It's called Catch the Show. And also a member of the incredible Hyphen Podcast group, a collective of podcasters who like to give their takes on the main things going on from life to entertainment. And my show is me giving my opinion on some of the hottest tours and shows from Beyonce to U2. See, I go to a lot of concerts and have gone to a lot of concerts, so it makes sense I have a podcast reviewing concerts and talking about the latest in music-related pop culture. So go listen to my podcast, Catch the Show, on hyphenpodcastgroup.com or anywhere where podcasts can be heard so you can catch the show. Get, because that's the name of the title. All right, now back to the show you were listening to.
Hey, yeah, you. You like comic books, anime, and stuff? Sure you do. Who the hell doesn't? And that's why you should listen to a podcast called Fresh. It's like audio cliff notes of ancient texts, painstakingly translated by us for you. So do yourself a favor. Like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Trust me, we're everywhere. So don't forget. It's a podcast called Fresh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, and anywhere podcasts are casted.
What kind of forever?
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
Dirt at bestest. I'm getting paid at exposure.